Hi guys, welcome back to Timeline Podcast. Hope you really enjoyed our last episode. If you don't know who I am, my name is Tim Chung. I'm a freelance creative based in London. And my lovely, lovely flatmate, Charlie.
My lovely co-host to the left. Hi everyone, I'm Charlie Firth. I am a digital producer who I work full-time in London.
Yeah, so Charlie, what did we talk about in our last podcast?
On the last podcast, we chatted a little bit about YouTube in 2020, how the platform has kind of changed a little bit since the early days, our journey on YouTube, on the platform, how you all kind of started, all of that good stuff. So go back and listen to it if you haven't heard it already.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely go back and listen to it. We have started putting a few bits and bobs on Instagram at Timeline Podcast. So if you don't follow us there, definitely jump on to Instagram and see him on Facebook. But in our last podcast, we touched upon camera gear, and I feel like we've had a lot of chats in the flat during our working days, and we've talked about gear, and I've been looking at gear. So I feel like this episode, we should just talk about cameras and tech.
Yeah, your favorite subject.
I could talk about this for 3 hours.
I wonder if we count up all the hours that we've spent talking about camera gear over the years, how much that would come to, you know, in a typical, if you compare it to someone else who, let's say, talks about food or talks about TV shows, how
I probably talk about food just as much.
That's true too.
Well, maybe not, but it's just an interesting question, because even on my own YouTube channel, even with my friends, my peers, people I might meet when I'm working on set, everyone always is intrigued. What are you filming with? What are you using to take photos with? Like, what do you use to make YouTube videos? So I feel that's a question everyone asks.
I feel like whenever you watch a YouTube video, a lot of the time people look at that YouTube video as well and they're like, oh, what do they film it with? What lens are you using? Because that makes the whole thing, you know? That's the whole shot. That's the whole video. What piece of kit are they using? And how can I get it? And how can I make what I do look exactly like them?
Yeah, so I'm actually currently shooting on Red exclusively. And also photography-wise, I'm shooting on Leica exclusive. Because I've got a brand deal with both brands.
Yeah, just casually shooting with a Red epic weapon.
Well, if you can, you can. If you know, you know.
If you got it, flaunt it.
Exactly. My videos might not look that quality, but you know, well, that's another conversation with editing. But I think it's really interesting to kind of go back and talk about where we started from in terms of cameras and what you're using right now. So I don't know if you want to go first or do you want me to go?
Maybe I'll start because I have a smaller list, let's say, than you.
My list is pretty small.
Well, all right. So growing up, what was the camera that we had at home? I think it was a Panasonic. I should have messaged my dad before this episode, but
shout out to your dad.
Shout out to Mick Firth. He probably will listen. Hi, Dad.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't remember the camera we had at home, but I think he bought it roughly around the same time I went to university, and I got a camera, I think for my birthday, maybe for my 21st birthday, which was a Canon 550D.
Could that shoot video or just photo?
Yeah, that shot video. And that's what I started when I did YouTube. Well, the first YouTube video I ever did was using my webcam on my parents' computer. Oh, wow. Back in the day.
Like a Logitech?
No, it was built into it was a PC which had an inbuilt webcam. Okay. And that's what I used to shoot my first couple of YouTube videos. And then at university, I had a 550D. And that's what I kind of used to shoot everything with. Did I understand how it all worked? No. I think I just shot in automatic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I know. Shameful young Charlie who didn't know a thing about cameras.
It's funny. I'm just like saying all this, but wait until I chat.
And then as YouTube became a bit more of a thing for me, and as I started taking photos a bit more and I started getting a bit more into it, I still wasn't like fully aware of what the camera did. But when I got my first kind of, job in production, I then kind of understood the camera a bit more and how it operated and all that type of stuff. And yeah, I kind of got a bit better at it. My pictures and the way I edited them, I don't know if you we should do another episode on editing pictures because, oh my goodness.
But would that come across on a podcast? Well,
no, no, it wouldn't. But let's just say great
suggestion.
The first couple of pictures I took, because I've got a Facebook folder. I used to put all my photography on Facebook and it was so green.
I love it when you used to post photos on Facebook because nowadays Facebook isn't used that much for them kind of stuff. But I remember you could just post every photo you wanted, anything, any holiday snaps, and people would look through all them 180 photos that you posted and like and comment on each one.
I think it was between the years of like 2010 to maybe 2013, 14. Every trip I post pictures on Facebook, the entire album, hundreds and hundreds of pictures. And that's why I've got so many tagged pictures on my Facebook, because I just haven't got around to untagging them all. But I haven't uploaded a proper photo on Facebook for many, many years. But anyway, that's going into another conversation. But yeah, used to take pictures on my 550D, edit them terribly, and then put them and publish them. And then I only got into shooting video towards the latter end of university and during my first job. But that, like, the 550D, the good old Canon 550D, that was my introduction to photography, introduction to film, until I got the Canon S120, because I watched Casey Neistat video and he was like, this is the best camera.
Vlogging camera?
The best vlogging camera in the world. And I was like, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get that camera.
Did it cost you a lot back then?
I think it cost about £300 on Amazon.
Okay, yeah, not bad.
Mm.
Not bad at all, actually.
I must have had a bit of budget rocking back in the day to be able to fork out on that. But yeah, and then I used that for trips. And when I moved up to London, I remember shooting on it. And then the majority of the cameras that I was using were through work.
So you had the best gear available right on your doorstep.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm very fortunate and very lucky with the kit that I've been able to use over the past couple of years.
Name a couple of the cameras, a couple of lenses, for the people.
So when I was at the Republic, my first job, that was Hasselblad photography cameras. And if you know anything about photography, you know Hasselblad is like the king kind of photography. That's what like a lot of amazing advertisement agencies use, that, you know, they'll hire photographers who have Hasselblads to go off and shoot like incredible campaigns, because you can blow up these images to be on like huge billboards in, you know, New York and LA and London and all that. So you'll use like those types of cameras. So I had an introduction through Hasselblad, and then we were using broadcast cameras at DreamTech to do a lot of shoots. What cameras were they? I have completely forgotten. But yeah, basically broadcast cameras that you'd see usually on TV to do, a lot of corporate work. And then we had no Sonys. It was mainly, we had one 5D in the office, and that was pretty much it. There was a Nikon. How would you say it? Nikon? I say Nikon.
Nikon.
Nikon. Just sounds better, Nikon.
Well, whatever. Both work.
Yeah, we had a Nikon camera, which again, I used to borrow for photography, and then made the jump to YouTube. And obviously YouTube had a range of kit. And so it was all Canon, because YouTube and Canon had an agreement where Canon gave the space a load of cameras, because it was obviously appealing, because then creators would come and use them and hopefully go and buy them themselves. So I think Canon made a really wise decision to do that. And that was everything from like a Canon 70D. We had GoPros in the office. They had a Red. They had the Canon C100, C200, C300. We had, you know, mics, Sennheiser mics, Rode mics, all that stuff. And that's where I kind of learned the bread and butter of how to shoot, and especially shoot manual.
Because when I met you, you loved Canon.
Yes.
You loved Canon.
Yes, I did.
How much of a love of Canon? Because of work?
I think so.
And well, you grew up with Canon?
Yeah, because it was like the first camera I had. And then going to the space, it was just all Canon. And I absolutely loved the 5D. I loved it so much. I think I still do. I think it's like the 5D for me is kind of like that first, you know, that first love of cameras. It was like, that's what it embodies for me. It's like the first camera.
Full frame, proper full frame.
Yeah, because that's how I learned properly how to take a picture and then how to edit that picture.
I mean, properly. You still use automatic right now, so I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Lies. Total lies.
I give you so much stick.
You know, people have probably read that comment on my video and probably gone, oh my God, she is completely lying. I'll talk about that later. Yeah, basically. So
what do you use right now?
So to cut a very long story short, I now shoot Sony and I have a Sony A7R Mark IV.
Okay, why Sony? What happened to your passion for Canon?
Partly blaming you, Tim, for this.
What do you mean blaming? You bought it, so you must love it.
Okay, so I think since getting to know you and, I don't know, we just used to go on a load of trips. I've been surrounded by a lot of different people who have lots of different cameras throughout the years. But it just so happens, I think, I've been on enough trips with you because you've had two cameras before. And because I sold my 550D, because at the time I didn't have the money to go off and buy my own 5D because they were just, they're super expensive. If you know anything about cameras, you're easily looking at $2,000-$3,000 minimum for a good camera, let alone a lens. Like these things cost a bomb.
Can we say that word?
It's in context.
Whoa.
This is a family podcast. That was just in context.
What do you mean? Cameras cost an absolute. Cameras
they
are cheap.
They cost an arm and a leg. That's what I'm going to say.
They're not. They're pennies. Absolute pennies. It's like just change in my pocket. That's how much cameras cost. I wish.
Yeah. But yeah, basically, I think going on trips with you and then seeing how Sony shot. Because I think for a long time, I was like, oh, I'm not sure about the autofocus on Sony. I'm not sure about the colors on Sony. I'm not used to it. I'm not used to this layout. And I think I remember going specifically to Belfast, that trip when we went to...
Coffee video?
I think it was the coffee video. It was where we went to Giant's Causeway.
Coffee video?
Yeah. And I remember the pictures
that
I took.
On YouTube.
Yeah. Go on to Tim's channel and check out Belfast.
Not even Tim's channel. Just go on YouTube and type in Belfast best coffee shops or something and it should come up.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I need to do that video again, actually.
I'd like to go back to Belfast. Shout out to Root and Branch. Shout out to Root and Branch.
Yeah, let's do that again.
Yeah, basically, the photos that I took on that trip, I was like, ooh, these are nice.
Peng?
Yeah. Even now, I still look back and I'm like, oh, these are some of the nicest photos I've taken.
The funny thing is, when you've just been talking for the past couple of seconds, all I could hear in my head was, I could see the photos that you were taking and they were really nice. Just a massive compliment to me. And that's why you chose Sony.
Well, I think, I don't know, yeah.
Thank you. I'll come collect my reward.
Just seeing the pictures that, you know, you could produce out of this, I was like, oh, maybe this is something I should be looking at. And over, I mean, it's taken me years. Like, let's be honest, like, I've known you for like 4 or 5 years and I've only owned my camera in the past 2 months. True. I'm very recent to have like owning my own camera. And that is because it's just been the right time. It's been the right place. Like, I've been very fortunate over the past couple of months to be able to invest in a Sony.
Well, tell us, how has your Sony experience been since you have your own camera now?
Nice. I mean, obviously I haven't been able to go on any trips with it yet, but been obviously shooting in the flat. I do want to take it out at some point. I just still don't feel like I can right now because I don't think it's appropriate. But yeah, I love it. It's just the file size on the A7R Mark IV is ginormous.
You're shooting uncompressed, so that's why.
It's like...
122 megabytes.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. I'm having to.
Just shooting compressed, 16 megabytes.
Mm.
But then I understand.
It's all.
If you've got a big camera, we might as well.
It's a test thing. It's a test thing for me, to be honest. Because
can your laptop handle it?
Yeah. It's still like, it doesn't load fully. It will
really? Okay. Wow.
Take a little bit of time to load. But I don't know. I think when I was thinking about investing in a camera, I did do my research. So I was like, the A7 III is great for video and photo. And, you know, that's the camera that I've seen and got to know through you and through other people. And that was definitely up there. And I was like, oh, and then we've been talking about like the Canon, like a 1DX would be amazing, but that's so expensive again. And then there was A7R3 and then obviously the A7R4. And I was like, you know what? Yes, I could get an A7R3, but the 4 is out there. I think of a photographer personally. I enjoy pictures more than I enjoy video at this minute in time. But who knows? I think it does good photo and video. It's obviously not a video camera like as its main function. It's more of a photography camera, and that's why I got it. But at the same time, it shoots nice video as well. And hey, maybe one day in the future, I'll be in a position where I can get another camera specifically for video. But for now, I think it serves me.
C100.
Not C100. The C100. No, I don't know. I think I'll stick with Sony for now until I am in a position to invest in more. But for now, I'm doing all right. I've got 16-35mm. It's my like dream lens. It's what I wanted to invest in first and foremost. And that is me. That is my little...
Yes, beautiful lens.
Mm.
My journey is so different though. If you're listening, you might as well pause the video, make a cup of tea, get some snacks.
Yeah, quick loo break. This is like the interval because Tim's now going to run with it.
Yeah, well, okay. Where do I start?
Take us back, Chung.
My first camera that I touched upon was this Kodak camera. I can't remember the exact model name, and I think I still have it in my house. But it was like a family camera. You could take some video on it. It was like 480p, I think, and wasn't the best, but that was like my first introduction to the digital camera world. Before that, it was just like disposable cameras and like point-and-shoot cameras, which majority of households might have had. After that, I then did my foundation art course, and in my foundation art course, if I wasn't using my mobile phone, someone was actually about to throw away this Canon camera, and I can't remember the exact model name. Maybe I should look it up to find out. I don't even know if I could find it anywhere.
They're about to throw it away.
Yeah, they're about to throw it away because they didn't have a body cap for it. It was just like dusty and like old.
Mm.
And they're literally about to throw it in the trash. So then I just said, look, can I just take it off you? And if I can fix it up, I'll give you some money for it. That's what I did. I went and fixed it up and gave them some money for it.
Mm.
And I think it gave them like £30. It was a Canon 400D.
I don't know what that even looks like.
Yeah, you don't need to know.
I'll look in a minute.
I actually used that camera to take photos on my sister's graduation.
Oh.
I used the kit lens, the 18-55 kit lens.
Yeah.
And I bought that on eBay. And that was like my introduction. It was only photo only. So that's my introduction to digital photo. Everything was just shot automatic. And that was really it. I then sold it because it was just a really bad camera. Not really bad, but it just didn't meet my needs.
It was like, because with the 550, it has the flash that pops up,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Looking at a picture now of the 400D.
Yeah, so...
Classic.
At uni, we had access to, pretty sure it was 600Ds at uni. So then we were able to rent them out. So any opportunity, I rented one out, just used the kit lens, and then just kind of fiddled around with that. Most of the time, I had no idea what I was doing. Any of the settings, any of the rules, any frame rates, whatever, just like... press record and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Like autofocus wasn't even a big thing back then, so just any focus was fine. There was one guy in my class that was more into video, and he taught us, like in a group setting, taught us a few things. That was really it. And I never really had my own camera, and I had some other friends that had 600Ds that I could borrow, and just, I guess, whatever you could turn the camera to make it look like a good image, then you just turned it. So if it was low light and you can get low light performance, then you just put the camera into a lower shutter speed so you could get more light into the camera. The image might not have looked smooth, but
1/20.
Yeah, or like 1/4. Honestly, right. Whatever needed to work to make it happen.
Yeah.
So after the 600D, I then bought a Canon 60D.
Yeah.
Which was a cheaper version of the 70D at the time, which could do video and take photos to a decent level. And then at that stage, that was when I was going to Portugal. If you listen to my episode about my timeline, then at that stage, I bought a Sigma 10-20 3.5. It gave me like a really wide image. And I got it secondhand. I can't remember where I got it from, but bought that secondhand. And then I had my 50mm Nifty 50 1.8. And I bought a Rode VideoMic Pro.
Yep.
And that was pretty much like my setup. I had a wide angle and had one for Sheldon Depth of Field.
Mm. Yeah, because I've got a picture of you standing on Millennium Bridge with your 60D.
No. So this was 60D. And then before I moved to London, I sold that camera. Or maybe I moved to London and then brought it with me, sold that camera. And at that stage, I was also vlogging on this Canon. I can't even remember the model name. It wasn't even a popular one. It was just like a cheaper one that I could find on eBay. I bought that for vlogging. When I moved to London, I sold that vlogging camera and bought a G7X. And also roughly at the same time, I then also bought a Canon 6D. So Canon 6D. Yeah. So I had a 60D.
Right.
And then I moved to full frame because that was crop sensor and moved to full frame to 60.
Right.
And had a 24-105 f4 lens. Had that for maybe 6 months. Not long. Really not long. And then sold it. So I bought it off this website. You could get stuff from China. Gray market import. If you are into cameras, you'll know what that means. And then sold it for the same price in the UK, which you probably aren't meant to do. And at that stage, I bought a 35 1.4, or 50 1.4. I can't remember. One of them two. And that was my shooting setup with a Rode VideoMic Pro.
Yeah. And you had a battery grip for that, didn't you, for the 60?
Maybe. I always buy battery grips for every camera that I own. It's nicer in the hand.
Yeah.
And you don't have to swap out batteries. So after that, I made the leap. Because, well, if you listen to my episode, I got me redundant in my job, which then at that point, I was like, well, perfect time to buy a Sony camera because Fun for Louis was vlogging on a Sony camera. And I thought, right, I've got so much time now. I'm going to take my vlogs up a notch and buy the Sony camera. So I bought a Sony A7R Mark II with a 24, the 240. And I had that for maybe a year, I would say. That's majority of what my originally was shooting on. A7R Mark II, not super wide lens. And I knew I wanted the 16-35 f4 at the time, but I couldn't afford it. And then I went to that Fun for Louis, what was it called? The Summit, some Summit he had.
Mm.
And basically Sony were there and I could try out all these lenses. So I ended up trying the 16-35 f2.8.
Sony was there at that camp?
Yeah.
Were they? Oh.
But at that point I had no money, right? I came back after Christmas, had literally no money, and I was wanting to try these lenses and thinking, if I try one of these lenses, I'll want to buy it. But it was a good time to actually try it on, even if it was for a quick 5 minute point the camera at myself and see what it looks like. After that, I don't know actually how long I've kept all these cameras for, but basically after I had the Sony A7R Mark II, I went back home in Northern Ireland and I bought a Sony A7S Mark II of someone.
Yeah.
Because at that point I was shooting weddings and I needed two cameras.
Yeah.
So I bought a camera of some guy, came back to London, ended up at some stage selling both of them cameras and buying a Sony A7R Mark III.
Just for anyone who might be listening, who's made it this far, who doesn't know anything about cameras, what's the main difference between an A7R and an A7S?
Okay, A7S and A7S Mark II are basically more catered towards video. So they perform better in low light because they have a slower megapixel in their camera. So the sensor is more a tier towards video people, whereas the R cameras are more for photographers needing more pixels.
Mm.
They can shoot video, but just not as well.
Yeah. And then not to make it even more complicated, but then there is just the A7 series, which is
a newer thing.
Yeah.
Recently. But we'll get into that. But during this whole time, I was experimenting with lenses. So like, I don't even know the timeline of all this, but I had I've pretty much had most of the Sony lenses that you'll ever want to buy. So anyone listening to this have Sony gear or wanting to purchase Sony gear, I might not have mentioned it all in my channel or done like unboxing videos, but I've pretty much had most of the lenses that you want to buy. So I had a 35 1.8 at some point, 16-35 f4, 24-70 f4, which I might have had actually one point, or I just made the leap for the 24-70 f2.8, 16-35 2.8, 35 f4
85
1.8, which there is a YouTube video about. 24 1.4, the only lenses I haven't really experimented with is the really zoom lenses, like 70-200.
Yeah, I've never seen you with one of them.
Not yet. Yeah, but there's no need in terms of the line of work I do.
Yeah,
that's kind of it. And then recently I swapped my A7 Mark III for an A7 Mark IV because I need a camera that can record more than 30 minutes that works with all the rest of the kit I have.
That's the quick skim through of the timeline of Tim's camera collection.
Yeah. So another thing, microphones. I did use Sennheiser microphones, and then because they're small and compact, and then I've reverted back to Rode just because I feel like the sound quality is a lot better.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think I've missed anything in terms of gear and tech. I think that's pretty... Like, there is a lot of numbers in there. I do apologize. And maybe I spoke a bit too fast.
No. I think that was good. I think, what do you find... Because obviously, like, using a G7X compared to using a Sony with a 16-35 lens on are two completely different things. They obviously shoot completely different pictures. But do you miss, like, something kind of like run and gun, quite quick and easy to use compared to something which... You know, a 16-35 lens is quite heavy. So it's obviously you got to set it up more. You've got a Joby.
Yeah.
Like, how do you find vlogging with different types of cameras?
So ask me 1 year ago, I would have said to you, it doesn't matter how big the camera is. I don't even mind having a 1DX as long as I'm getting the best image I can for vlogging. So there was a whole period where I was just vlogging solely on a DSLR mirrorless camera. And it didn't matter how heavy the lens was, even if I was out and about and people were like, you carry this around with you all the time. I'm like, yeah, I do, because the quality is insane.
Yeah.
Whereas the G7X, yes, I might miss it every now and again when you might be in a really small space and it's just awkward to take a big camera out. But I mean, a year ago, like, I was in. Like, I wanted to make YouTube videos. I wanted to create content. If it was for a client, then the bigger the better.
Yeah.
But personally for myself, for YouTube stuff, I do miss it. But at the same time, I want the quality. And I'm not going to get that exact quality from a smaller camera. Even, yes, if you're starting out, them small cameras are very nice. Like, I don't want to carry another camera around all the time. Imagine I had to carry my mirrorless camera around plus another small camera.
Yeah.
Plus the small camera charger, the big camera charger.
Yeah.
I might as well just carry the one camera and use that one camera for everything.
Yeah.
I do miss it, but to outweigh carrying more stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if I go on a trip, I want to bring my big camera. And then do I bring the small camera as well?
Yeah. Your back's kind of...
My backpack's already heavy. My backpack sometimes weighs like 15 kilograms.
I feel like if you ask any cinematographer, photographer, like how their back is, they're going to be like, oh. Yeah, it's been messed up for years.
Small compact cameras are so good, and I understand why people use them, because you can get into really tight spaces. You can probably set that camera in places that you'll never be able to set a mirrorless camera. And yes, some of them do shoot 4K, super high frame rates as well. But the image quality and dynamic range is just not quite there on some of them. And especially if some of these cameras cost £1,200, I'd rather just buy a lens, £1,200.
Yeah. And what's the, like, the majority of stuff that we watch content on? A phone. You know? Screen on it. We haven't even talked about shooting on mobile.
I don't shoot on mobile. I do, but...
I do every now and then. I did before I got my camera. Just because, like, you know, I was going on trips. And for me, it's, like, about memories. And it's about, you know... I've got so many trips and folders, either of content that I've shot on someone else's camera.
You know something I want to mention before we go further with this? You might hear all the stuff I have right now. I actually think I know I keep talking about this, but I will make a YouTube video about all my gear at some point, and it will happen before the end of summer. But you have to understand that this almost now is like 8 or 9 years in the making, and it isn't like an overnight thing. I know people say it all the time, but you really have to understand I am using this gear not just for YouTube. I am using it for professional work. And
it's your livelihood.
Yeah. It hasn't taken me, like, I wish I could just buy everything tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it has been in small increments. And once I get another job, then I reinvest and reinvest. Yeah. So some people, like even I know some people that I'm friends with might think, oh, wow, you've got this and this and this and this. And I could come with my camera bag and unclip it. And it's like, oh my word, this is like a shop. But you then have to understand that this shop, I did start with a, like I started by not having my own camera and borrowing cameras and buying, well, essentially getting a camera for free that was like dusty and old, like couldn't shoot video.
And this isn't even at the end of your journey as well, you know?
No, it's not. Bring on that red camera.
Like you wait a year's time, we do an updated version of my camera gear 2021. I guarantee you it will be complete, no, like 100% everything you have, you'll be like, no, sold, gone, got rid of that, got this, got that.
The longest thing I've kept in terms of what's in my camera bag right now, oh, wait, I was going to say SD card, but those have all changed, is probably my 16-35 2.8 lens I have. That's the only thing that stayed from almost, not the start, but that's the longest thing I've kept.
Yeah.
And that hasn't even been that long.
Nah. No, I think people who are listening will understand that like, yeah, we've both been doing this for a long time. The camera that I own is more for personal use. I am using it for work currently because I can't get into our work studio. But like Tim is a freelancer. He does this full time. He's been doing this for a long time. And so it has been a gradual build up of stuff. And yeah.
I think my gear could get better, but obviously...
Well, it's just like, that's going to be the next chapter for you, like, shooting. But
obviously, you have to make... Like, when I was starting out, you just have to make do with what you have and achieve the best possible results.
Yeah.
And just get to know your camera better. And if you can deliver to your clients and to people, then that's totally cool. But going back to your point about phone, like, everyone has a different phone, obviously, but I personally use iPhones, and iPhone cameras are really good. Even for like Instagram and posting on like Facebook and social media, people don't, what's the word?
Utilize it?
Yeah, people don't utilize it as much as they think they can.
No.
And even if I film something on my camera and then interlude it with stuff on my phone, some people actually find it really difficult to see where the difference is. The main difference would be, well, some of the quality is lacking. iPhones have this weird thing with variable frame rates that also mess up with your audio.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
Which is super annoying, but some people don't actually know, because when I said that I was selling notebooks for my Portugal trip back then, I actually made postcards as well, but also the covers of these notebooks were photos that I shot on my iPhone. So like if I walked and seen a sunset, I would have just shot it straight from my camera up.
Yeah.
I knew how to edit it and how to blow it up and make it look better. And that's what I did. And also it was on Etsy and all these websites where people could, not Etsy, maybe this other website where you could put your artwork on and it would divvy it up into like pillowcases and throws and people would just purchase it.
Okay.
And you might get like 50p or £1 because they've bought your item.
Yeah.
It was on them websites and some people bought them. iPhone photo.
Yeah. I remember speaking to someone once and they had the 11 Pro. And I was like, you do realize you can do like wide angle on this? I had no idea. It's like,
what's wide angle?
It's the dream. That's what you want. It's the dream. Yeah, I don't know. It depends what you're using it for. You know, we use it for video and for photo. I think a lot of people are using their mobile phones to record right now. It's just topical. That's all.
We should post a photo on Instagram, just like a flat lay with all the gear.
Oh, yeah, we could do.
That's crazy though. That, I don't know if that's like flexing. All my mates back at home be like, flexing.
Maybe we should. Maybe. Let's see. Right. I think that's covered pretty much most of our camera discussions.
I could go into more detail. Honestly, I could probably sit here all day and talk to you about cameras. I had a disposable camera at some stage. I had a Leica disposable camera.
The one we took to Iceland?
Yeah.
That we had to throw up in the air and you Photoshop the...
Yeah, but Leica follow me back now on Instagram because of it. And then, but yes, the one we had to throw up in the air a couple of times. And then also, like Polaroid cameras, such good cameras. before lockdown, I bought a crap ton of disposable cameras.
Yeah, because you went through your David Dobrik stage.
Yeah, so I wanted to shoot more disposable because it's just such a nice look.
Mm. Well, if you go back onto your Instagram, you've still got disposables, yeah, right, from Christmas?
I've got 20 disposable cameras sitting underneath my bed because I thought we would be out and about doing stuff all the time. And that would be my camera in my pocket the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, disposables are great though. They're so good. I got some, we haven't even touched on film cameras. I have film cameras.
Film's dead. Even though I have disposable cameras.
Film is not dead. No, I got some film developed from a couple of years ago. It's always a fun one.
I think one thing I do want to like kind of close and end upon is if you're listening to this and we have kind of just touched upon it, maybe use this as like a aspiration to what you want to buy. We have done so much research. Well,
Tim has.
Me. I've done a lot of research into what I want to purchase. I don't even go to the shop and have a look around. I do all my research beforehand. So if this episode is like, okay, I seen the progression of where he was before and look up, even look like pause at some stage, go back and pause and be like, this is the camera used. And then just see this subtle, slow upgrades and then understand that. And then if you have, some of you might have like a 60D, 70D, 80D or a G7X. Always look at where you might want to go next and just work to that and just make the most of what you have. If you have an iPhone and you just love shooting on your iPhone, then, yo, people are making a living.
Yeah. Grab a moment lens. Whack a moment lens on the back of your phone. Like, that will shoot incredible cinematic footage.
Get the Moment app, Filmic Pro app.
Yeah.
There's all these apps that can utilize more from your phone that you could ever think about.
Yeah, there's like free editing apps as well if you want to shoot on your phone and then push that onto YouTube or Instagram. Like
Visco, RTRO, which is made by Visco.
Yeah.
I did an Instagram live to talk about all this stuff, which a lot of people were like, oh, didn't know that. But there's so many different things. Like Visco and RTRO are probably one of my favorites in terms of stuff for your phone to bring this back to like a everyday pocket camera phone. So those are the things that I would recommend. But I just know when you talk about cameras to people, I just don't want people to listen to this. And I just have said it, but I want to reiterate it and think he's just got a lot of gear and he's got so much money and he can just buy whatever he wants. Like, that is definitely not the case. It goes like bit by bit in terms of what's used for, what jobs you have. There's no point spending money on something that you can't afford.
Yeah, it goes with different chapters in your life. Like, you don't, when you're 16 years old, you don't buy a Mercedes Benz. It's not how it works unless you've got Bank of Martin Parr at your disposal. But it takes time to build up.
I had a Ferrari when I was 18.
Shut up. You imagine that the rich kids of LA are now driving Teslas when they're like 15, 16.
Imagine. I would love a Tesla. Tesla, if you're listening.
Yeah. Elon Musk, hi. Send us.
Just one would be fine. Or just a large percentage of discount.
Yeah. No, but I think you're totally right. Like, with age, or, you know, not even with age, just with the different progressions in your life, like, it doesn't matter what age you are. It all just depends on how long you've spent, you know, on your craft and understanding how it all works and bettering within, you know, your own progression. And even if you, it doesn't even matter what camera you have, like, you can still create and shoot amazing things regardless of what is in your hand. So just go out there and make the most of it and create really great stories. And yeah, like Tim said, go back and watch all of his YouTube videos. Now we're in lockdown, you got time.
Yeah, just remember the tools are meant to help and aid you do the work, and the tools are there to help. Remember that. If the tools aren't there to do the work, if you don't know what you're doing, them tools will never work for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm sure a lot of people and a lot of families might have, you know, I'm sure you've seen people around London, around different cities, around the world, like, using a DSLR. But did they actually know how it works? It depends, you know, it really depends.
Well, if you don't know, just look it up on YouTube and then you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I think on that note, we're going to wrap things up. So if you've got a camera, get out, go shoot. If you've got a phone, get up. Or if you're up, take it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just take pictures. Just, you know, just, I think the main thing is about using the things that you have, whatever equipment it is, just getting up there and using it. Like if you have something, or if you've got a camera sat on your bookshelf that you haven't used in a year, just think to yourself, am I actually, one, using it? Do I actually need this? And if you don't, could you sell it and make a bit of profit and put that money towards something else? Or if you are going to use it, then just use it. And
yeah, we'll actually want to challenge you guys. If you've made it here and you don't mind, you should tag us in a photo that you've taken because you've listened to this, and tag us on our Instagram. And then that means if we know, we want to see, and we'll like comment on it and like see what the photo is.
Yeah.
We'd be super interested. And also maybe tell us what you're shooting with. We'd love to know that as well.
Yeah. Even just like, doesn't have to be in your feed, put it in your story. Just tag us.
Yeah.
And we'll reshare it.
It's been real. We should add like shutter sound.
Yeah, maybe. We're getting there. We still need like a little intro piece of music and an outro piece of music. We're getting there. All right. One step at a time. Like this entire discussion timeline in a couple of months' time is going to sound completely different.
Oh yeah, it's going to hopefully sound even better with guests coming your way, just waiting for lockdown to ease even more.
Yeah.
And then we're in planning, so stay with us.
Yes.
We will have at least one guest per month, if not more.
Yeah, obviously we can't let you know when that's going to properly happen yet, because we're still in this crazy pandemic phase, but we're going to come out of this very soon. But I hope everyone is still staying safe, staying healthy. But like Tim said, keep it real.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. I'm sure you said keep it real.
Okay, right. Peace out. I'll catch you guys in the next one. I hope you guys are having an awesome day, no matter what you're getting up to. Comment down below. This isn't
a Tim blog.
Okay, catch you guys later.
Bye guys. Bye.